Welcome to Church Drunk, a spirited conversation about faith, reason, and libations. It has been a while.
Who are you?
Good listener out there. Mom, hi.
Don't tell her.
We have taken some time off of Church Drunk. We did drop in an episode basically to tell you that we kind of needed to take some time off, and we wouldn't be doing it quite as regularly.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're glad that you're back, or here for the first time, discovering
welcome
the roller coaster ride that is Church Drunk. So really, welcome to Church Drunk, a spirited conversation about faith, reason, and libations.
Hey.
A couple things you should know about our little podcast here. We tend to have foul-mouthed humor, so if that's not your jam, then you might want to look elsewhere for your Advent inspiration. Wow.
Just kidding.
Wow.
Please stay.
Dizzy's just bringing the real off the bat.
I always feel like the pressure to have a little cuss if I'm not telling you that we swear.
Yeah. Loosens up the vocal cords for the remainder of the recording. We also tend to be a little bit heretical here on Church Drunk. So again, if that's not your jam, if you're like somebody who holds on tightly to your pearls, you reserve them just for clutching, then perhaps you should look elsewhere for your Advent inspiration.
Like pearls before swine over here. Just tossing them out.
Get ready. Last thing you should know, we're Catholic, but you don't have to be. We cast a wide net. Welcome one and all to Church Drunk, a new season, because we've hit a new liturgical season.
Yes, we cannot resist.
It is Advent. And so we start off, as always, with the same question. I'm Guess, but here with my partner Diz, what are you drinking?
I am drinking a Sierra Nevada Celebration Fresh Hop IPA. And I just want to say, like, I am celebrating being back at Church Drunk. I'm pretty excited. I'm glad that we're back with our good old microphone friends and also celebrating, like, Advent. Like, it's my favorite. I love Advent. Except Lent. I also love Lent. But, like, you know, this is the celebratory preparation.
Yes.
It's a little bit cheating, but I feel like everybody cheats a little bit of their Advent celebration.
Advent being a season of light and inspiration,
yes.
I have been illuminated just in the last few moments here, and I feel like everybody should have to say IPA with, like, a British accent, bringing us back to the colonial roots that the IPA was, in fact, brought to
India by the
British,
wow.
Preserved with its extra hoppiness for the journey so that it wouldn't go bad. So I think everybody should have to have an IPA.
You know, it was just such a long title.
Riding
I had to
on
sort
my
of
elephant with my pith helmet, drinking an India Pale Ale.
Don't tempt me with a good time. We don't know how those wise men got there. They could have been riding some wild elephant. No, it just was such a long title.
Yes.
And I wanted to read all of it because it's like fresh hop IPA. Like that makes me think like a pine boughs, an Advent wreath.
Oh.
I am stretching with purpose here.
Fresh hop makes me think of the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Because the Fresh Prince of
Peace.
He
would hip hop the Fresh Prince of Peace. Good God. Wow.
What are you drinking? Is it better than mine?
Within the first, like, 5 minutes here, we can't even see the rails. That's how far off of them we are.
Hey, it's good to know what you're getting into
right
at the top.
Right? You missed us. Admit it.
We missed you.
So I am drinking in honor of St. Francis Xavier, who his feast day is not on the first day of Advent, but it's close this year, December 3rd. I'm having a Francis cocktail, according to our good friend Michael P. Foley's Drinking with the Saints guide.
Trusty companion of Church Drunk.
Yes. So he says, in honor of St. Francis Xavier, whose feast is December 3rd, you have a Francis cocktail made of equal parts gin and brandy. And then, so 1 ounce of gin, 1 ounce of brandy, 1/4 ounce dry vermouth, 1/4 ounce Grand Marnier. I may have accidentally tippled in a little bit of extra dry vermouth, which is not my favorite ingredient.
No.
But the cocktail still came out okay.
It tastes much better than it should, really, given the lineup.
It smells unappealing.
No.
But it tastes okay. So it's one of those where if you just hold your nose, you're fine. Yeah.
Well, it's one of those two where it's all alcohol. So have a sip and suddenly it all smells and tastes wonderful.
Yeah. It's one part booze, one part booze, 1/4 part booze, 1/4 part booze. Yeah.
And you didn't even do the usual Dizzy special where you're just like, well, here, I fell in some fizzy water in it. You'll like it more. Like he does it just the booziness.
Neat, as it were. So that's what we're drinking.
Pour yourself a drink.
As we've discussed, it is Advent.
Yes.
Although we will say, as of this recording, we still got a couple days before Advent, which is critical to me because I need some days to bake some bread.
Yes. If you have been a longtime listener, you may know that Guess has been baking his way through Brother Rick Curry's right?
Brother Rick Curry,
Jesuit Guide to Bread Baking.
Right. That was last year's Catholic New Year's resolution.
Yes.
Since we start a new liturgical year with every Advent, mm-hmm. we make some New Year's resolutions. We may be dropping those later this season, it sounds like, because...
It's not yet Advent.
Yeah, we're not even there yet.
Yeah.
But last year was do a straight up Julie and Julia of Brother Rick's bread baking book.
It's been glorious for all of us who get to partake of it.
Yeah.
Even breads that you didn't eat yourself, I think everyone else enjoyed.
Yeah. Yeah, there were some where I was like, this one's a giveaway. This is a giveaway loaf right here. But it's been a lot. I think I will write up a blog entry when I finally get through. I've got three left.
Yeah.
And I think I'm going to drop them all tomorrow.
Just
going to go ham tomorrow in the kitchen.
Dang.
So, yeah.
Okay. Right.
So anyway, we're wrapping up last year's Advent resolutions and looking ahead to this year's.
It's a Catholic New Year, which is another reason to have the celebration ale.
Exactly.
So many things to celebrate.
Right.
Yes.
And this year for Advent, we're going to do something a little different. We try to mix it up, what we do from time to time. And again, if you're a longtime listener, you know that Advent is near and dear to our hearts. It's actually where we kind of draw a lot of our inspiration for starting the podcast. Mm-hmm. We technically started in Lent, but we are Advent people, really, when you get right down to it.
Yeah. I feel, though, that every season we think we're that people.
Yeah.
Like, we are liturgical season people, is what it means. We're, Advent Lent people.
I think, if you talk about, the big we, right? We as a church, we really are Lent people. Like, the Catholic Church does Lent best, and we've kind of talked about that. But you and I,
we love Advent.
We don't give up a whole lot. No. Like, we make each other give up something sort of trivial, but, we don't give up booze.
No.
We don't give up, a lot of things that some people give up for Lent.
Recently, we heard of a mutual friend who gives up booze every Lent.
Every Lent.
And we were both scandalized.
Right.
We were but how? Yeah.
Even in the desert, I feel
I
like you
know,
could
though.
Ferment some, cactus juice or something.
You're making, sock prison liquor,
right.
Out in the desert.
But which is why Advent really resonates with us, because it is a season of...
It's
waiting. It's a season of penance,
mm-hmm.
but it's also a season of celebration at the same time.
It's the level of penance that we enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Lent is
it's the drinky
thing.
Kind of penance
it's
that we're really good at.
Well, I think it's all the drinky kind of penance, let's be honest. But okay, all right. So we had a new idea for this Lent,
for
this Advent.
For
because
this Advent.
It is our favorite, and we were thinking about some of our favorite things and, how we might highlight them, and I had heard this little rhyme for, scaling back the excessive commercial buying of Christmas.
Kind of
a
reasonable Christmas list of sorts.
Right, and things that you can, it's a reasonable list, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's, something... you wear something, you read something, you want something, you need something like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, four things, nothing major, nothing,
yeah.
a variety. And we're
right.
All right, well, what would be our churchy drunk, our prayer version of this? And we're all right, so something you hear.
Something to hear, something to watch.
Something to read.
And something to nosh.
Uh-huh.
So it doesn't rhyme, but if you say it fast enough, it does.
Close enough.
Right. So we're going to be working our way through the 4 weeks of Advent according to those four things, something to hear, something to watch, something to read, something to nosh. So you can expect that coming down the line. And this will be our first installment, something to hear, which will highlight some of our favorite tunes for Advent / Christmas, which is in and of itself a bone of contention.
Well, I don't even think it's a bone of contention. I think it's a bonus. It's a bonus of contention.
A bonus of contention.
Because even if you're wrong, it's enjoyable. You're not that wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You're celebrating something wonderful early. Oh, how dare you?
Well, yeah, no, I think if you're wrong, you claim that O Come Emmanuel is the only appropriate song to play during Advent. That makes you wrong, but you're one of those people who's I am right-er than everybody else, which is the only way to be wrong.
To be charitable, I think that if you want to say all the traditional sort of hymns, some of them you're going to highlight today,
mm-hmm.
could be considered that's an opportunity to bring us back to more religious kind of looking ahead music, which are not even particularly Advent
right.
either.
Yeah.
They're just not obviously Christmas.
Yeah. So along with these themes of, you know, what to hear, what to watch, things like that, we may be tying in some of those classic themes of Advent, right? Yes. And you're always better at like those 4 weeks than I am. What week is week one? Is it hope?
It's hope.
Is week
and
one?
And then it's love.
Right.
And joy is always
third week.
And peace. Although I'm actually thinking that I'm wrong because that's the order that I think it should be. Yeah. I'm actually pretty sure that love is the second week.
Okay. But hope.
No. That peace is the second week.
Peace. Yeah, I think you're right.
Because hope, I think it should end on peace, joy, but I think it actually ends on love.
Yeah.
I think either way,
it's hope week.
There's four weeks.
We can say that much.
There's all those.
So, along with the idea that like the music helps us to look forward to something, right? There's that hopefulness, but there's also like in a lot of these songs that we get called back to every Christmas season. There's a lot of joy built into that. And I believe that's true, whether it's like, you know, something like we'll talk about, like some of the traditional church hymns, or whether that's like Rudolph the freaking red-nosed reindeer. Like, there is hopefulness even in that story, right? He had a red nose. Everybody hated him. And then all of a sudden, he found his purpose, and Santa made him filled with the joy of the Holy Spirit.
And he could look down at all those mean reindeer who wouldn't let him play games.
Right.
That's part of it, right?
So, but the ones that we want to highlight to start off with. Come off of an album that if you have not listened to it and you're listening to our podcast, you should probably stop now and go listen to the Sufjan Stevens Songs for Christmas album that is just amazing.
And I don't even feel like this is a recommendation because it's not new. Like, I feel like this is well advertised and known. But if you haven't heard it, no shame. Go get it right now.
And you don't want the silver and gold one. I mean, although, even though that's good, but that was one that came out later. You want the Songs for Christmas, blue cover, little Christmas tree on the front.
Oh my gosh.
It's pretty much the best thing ever.
It's just delightful.
Yeah.
And it's got songs that you haven't probably heard before.
Right.
And that are still old songs.
Yeah.
Like traditional songs.
So part of the beauty of it is that there's like classic Christmas songs. You know, some of them religious and some of them not religious, but you know, there's O Holy Night and there's Silent Night and there's all the nights and there's all the, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Three sailing ships.
Yep. That was one of the ones I think that kind of got us turned onto it in the first place many, many years ago was the Three Ships Come Sailing In. But then there's these little gems that this guy has uncovered and given new life to, even though probably, most folks hadn't heard them in church because they hadn't been in most churches for, you know, hundreds of years in some cases.
Right.
They had just kind of faded away. So the one that I always love that has become like pretty popular off that album is the Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, which
beautiful.
Is just one of the most beautiful songs. When you read it, it's a poem. When you hear Sufjan sing it, it's lovely. When you hear a choir sing it, it's great. It brings up Here I Raise My Ebenezer, which is like... so fantastic.
So beautiful. And
makes
you
go
hear it,
look
like,
up Ebenezer and realize that it means like a rock of hope, like a marker of like, this is the place where I plant my hopefulness. Like, so lovely. And then you think about Ebenezer Scrooge
then you go,
being
then
that.
Then you're like, way to go, Dickens.
And it's like,
way to fucking go.
Yeah. Like, holy moly. Like, so it's just such a beautiful, beautiful song and there's so many layers to it.
And once you have heard Sufjan sing it and once you've like read the words once, like you can be in the department store during the madness of like pre-Christmas crazy people and hear this, because you will. You'll hear the instrumental version everywhere and be like, oh, like this is this beautiful thing. So if there's this touchstone for you.
Yeah, and that is one of the things that I love about Christmas music in general. Is that it does call you back. I mean, like, aside from some of the really annoying ones, right? Like, Mariah Carey.
What do you mean?
You can go.
It's a great song.
Straight
super fun.
To you know where with your whatever songs you're singing.
We're
going
to come back to that.
But, you know, like, so everybody has ones that grate them the wrong way. But,
sure.
like, some of the classics, like, you know, chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Like, you hear those words and, like, all of a sudden... You know, if you like that song, it brings you to like a calmer, happier place, no matter where you are, right? And I've been in some funky places in the world in the lead up to Christmas and feeling very far away from my family. And a song in like a department store has helped me like pause and find some space, or just on, you know, my iPod when I listen to music on that once upon a time, you know, but wherever it is, whatever you hear
throwback.
It serves that purpose, you know.
And that is the beauty of music. Yeah. And so we are happy to start on here.
It's a great place to start for Advent. And what's your Sufjan song that you loved off that album?
Yes. I love a lot of them, but one that I'm always excited to hear because I will never hear it probably much other places is low how a rose error blooming. Blooming.
Yes, blooming, yeah.
I always get error is low like ever, but like error.
Air blueing. It's just turning blooming, blue.
Yeah. Blooming. But it is adventy because it's a lot about the Isaiah sort of prophecies, but it's aimed more at Mary. Like she's the rose.
Yep.
And there, the last verse has the night, has a beautiful line, the darkness everywhere, right? And so it's just keeping us in that moment. And, you know, it's just beautiful imagery and it's a beautiful melody and it's different but singable and, like, fun at the same time. Like, it's a celebratory song about triumphing over the darkness.
Yes. And that is, like, you know, the forgotten part, the part that, like, commercial culture bypasses very quickly is the idea that Advent, yes, it's about light, yes, it's about hope, but it's about, like, the light that shines in the darkness. You do have to connect with that, like, waiting for the Messiah, which is a pretty, like, not just, like, metaphorically, well, I guess, yes, just metaphorically dark place to go, but, like a world that's waiting for saving. If you really believe that, you know, like, Jesus is the Messiah and the salvation event has already happened, to connect with the world prior to that is pretty heavy, you know? So there is some of that work that needs to be done during Advent.
Right.
And sometimes these songs can call us back to that.
Well, and this song really highlights the mirror of Jesus's life, right? So, like, here's the darkness of Advent before he's born, this dark part of his, of the world, right? And then here he comes into it, and even a line in that is, like, the night is half spent.
Right.
Right? Like, it's almost too late before the light comes in.
Yeah.
And then to think about, you know, Lent coming later and, like, the Passion, like, it's almost too late. Like, you think all hope is lost, and yet here comes this miracle. Like, it's this beautiful parallel, and I, you know, that's what that one reminds me of. Yeah. So, I love it.
So, if you have not listened to your Sufjan yet, go plug in, get on Spotify, jump on to that Sufjan album, and start your Advent preparations.
Yeah, but I think you were saying that Sufjan is always the kind of bridge album between you know, the temptation to full blast into Christmas music.
Exactly.
Have a little Advent.
Once Halloween comes and goes, right? Mm-hmm. And, like, there's not really a lot of Thanksgiving tunes. So
I'm okay with that.
You start watching Nightmare Before Christmas on October 1st.
Please do.
That gets you through the month. And then, you know, like, you can keep going with Nightmare. Yeah. It's multi-seasonal, as
it is meant to be watched from October through December.
Yeah. But, you know, realistically, you kind of start, like, getting a little antsy for, you know, and especially this year we've got a late Thanksgiving. So it kind of feels like, well, we should already be listening to Christmas tunes. But Thanksgiving, if it hasn't come and gone, you know, then you sort of got to find something to bridge the gap. So what I usually do is I start playing, like, some of Sufjan's other albums, right? I start dropping in
the
some
mix.
Like Seven Swans, things like that. You know, Come On, Feel the Illinois, one of my all-time favorite albums. So you start to kind of bridge, and then eventually, like, you know, just to, like, maybe in the week before Thanksgiving, you start dropping in those songs for Christmas, and it's just, it's lovely.
You can follow musical year rules.
Yeah, exactly, right? It's
good advice, though.
You gotta have boundaries. But
you're building the anticipation. What is more Advent than that?
Yeah. However, if you've already jumped on the Sufjan train and, like, you guys are like, all right,
something
we
else,
know.
Please.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's a couple other favorites that we have that we figured we could share. One of them is actually brand new to me in kind of taking a look at some new songs and places to find them. I came across an article that's on the America Magazine, thank you, Jesuits, website. So it's a list of classic, like, hymns, classic church hymns that are for Advent, but they're not necessarily O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, which is the traditional one where people say that's
the,
like,
only one there
the
is.
The only one that's loud. Well, this one's saying there's others, and you should check them out. And so one of them that is on that list that I really, really enjoyed was this one that all of a sudden is not coming up on my phone. There we go. Watchmen Tell Us of the Night. So it's by the Walking Roots Band, Watchmen Tell Us of the Night, and the story is kind of alluding to the star in the sky and the watchmen that were following it, which would be the wise men.
Not
right?
The, like, watchmen that's going
not
on
the watchmen,
right now.
Not the watchmen.
Different.
Very
totally
different
watchmen. Totally different watchmen.
But that was the first thought that came to my mind, actually,
I know,
when I was
like,
watchmen.
It's like very, like, how are all these things combining?
So, yeah, they actually put this article on America Magazine last year, and I missed it, so mm-hmm. found it this year, mm-hmm. and there's a few extra songs in there, and that Watchmen Tell Us of the Night, where it's the story of this star that you're following, and you're trying to figure out what is this significant event that is happening. It's a beautiful song, and it's got some lovely sort of anticipatory lyrics, right? You're moving towards something, but you don't even necessarily know what it is.
Yeah.
So brings you back to that joyful hope of Advent. So that's one that I would highly recommend, and maybe we can resurrect the blog and put a link to that.
We should do a little playlist. Yes, I feel like that's definitely due.
Particular article, so it's worth checking out.
All right, I got a couple more. One of them is not new. I am very lazy when it comes to music, especially since being friends with guests for so long. And he's constantly being like, here's new music. I'm like, great, thanks. Like, to the point of like, where's my new music? But this is old and one of my very favorites from Iron and Wine, which is Freedom Hangs Like Heaven Over Everyone. Another Mary-centric song. But it kind of brings that like little dark edge into... it's not quite Advent. It is probably more Christmas, but in terms of having the foreboding and like the weight of it all, which I feel like is more Advent, like the heaviness of what's really happening, right? It's this idea of the adult knowing differently than the child. So when it's kind of all on her, right? And this idea of that this freedom that we all are responsible and gifted with, how do we carry this, right? And how does she carry this? And sort of the drama of it, mm-hmm. And the fatal, you know, like the fate that's happening, but also the choice of it. So I just think it's a really beautiful, another beautiful Marian one. Just while we were talking, it occurred to me too, another album that's good for Advent and kind of random is like Sting's Christmas album. I think I have mentioned it here before.
I think you have.
But it's like oddly good and kind of random. Low a Rose Ever Blooming is also on it, but... a lot of other songs that you might not have heard that are sort of in the season. And if you like, I mean, even if you don't like Sting, like it's not really like what you think of as Sting. I don't know. It's just different. So check it out. There's one Fair about enough. Hounds. I think that might be why I like it, actually.
That's like, you know, we did a good job, I think, steering people, you know, our listener, to some songs that maybe would help them with Advent. Of course, there are some guilty pleasure songs as well. Mm. There's been a bit of scuttlebutt this year, if you would, about John Legend and Kelly Clarkson remaking the Baby It's Cold Outside to be more woke. And it's like,
as opposed to the appropriate version.
As opposed to being extremely date-rapey, it's a bit more like, hey, it's your body, it's your choice kind of support from the male part from John Legend.
However, John Legend, just racking up the points at wherever he goes.
I listen to it, it's all right, but I would steer people towards the Lydia Liza and Josiah Lemansky version of Baby It's Cold Outside, who did the woke version a few years ago, you know, Clarkson and Legend. Pomegranate LaCroix makes an appearance in the lyrics to this version of it. Say, what's in this drink? Pomegranate LaCroix. The funniest and best thing ever. So like, you know, when you're ready to just celebrate freaking Christmas early, do that one. That's not even a Christmas song. That's a winter song.
You can listen to all the winter songs and just have them be seasonal songs.
Totally.
Just don't call them in your head Christmas
music.
Yeah,
they're not Christmas songs.
Or do what you want.
Because Jesus, nobody's keeping score. Yeah.
Also, I'm really proud of us for not making any inappropriate jokes about O Come Emmanuel, because we cannot get through one Easter episode without talking about all Jesus the coming.
Came upon the clouds. O come, Emmanuel. Yeah.
Good job,
it's even
team.
Got the O in there, the O face. O come, Emmanuel.
The O antiphons, which I totally love and respect.
We will probably
talk
be coming
about
back to those later.
Every day.
Yeah.
So if this doesn't tell you about Church Drunk, I don't know what would.
Right,
but,
I feel like we've come roaring back.
We are really thrilled that 6 of you have given us ratings on iTunes.
Yeah.
More of you can do that. And
absolutely.
Shout out to listener Lolo the Boom, who wrote a review. We like that a lot. So please, you know, send us an email at churchdrunk@gmail.com.
Tweet me at Church Drunk Pod.
Yep. Subscribe to us at all the usual places. And
we'll be flooding
your Advent
weekly for the next few weeks, and then probably even into a little bit of Christmas tide.
Yeah, we want to celebrate the Christmas tide.
So that is Advent, and we're glad that you're back, and we'll have you next week here at Church Drunk, where we're just a couple of ding-dongs merrily on high.
It pulls them out every time. Cheers. Cheers.